Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code Howie10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I'd like to welcome all you to the 9th Annual International Player Haters Ball.
We denied the virus for too long out of the Trump White House. There was too much squashing of dissent and playing on divisions.
Donald Trump was there. It was on his watch when most of those deaths occurred. And just about every step of the way, he was downplaying the virus, saying it was going to go away. I mean, to put that record up against Anthony Fauci, there's just no competition.
Oh, man. Hey.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
If Senate Democrats are not going to pass reforms on H.R. 1, we cannot rely solely on a wish of winning elections.
When you wish upon a star.
Trump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. This hour, we're going to have on a lawyer from Gainesville, Florida, who has apparently won the first legal case where a judge, an appeals court judge, state appeals court, declared the mask mandate unconstitutional. It was kind of a moot point in Florida because the mask mandates ended more than a month ago. But still, I mean, this decision by the judge, who's a Ron DeSantis appointment, is just spectacular. And the my favorite part of the decision is when he refers to the snitch lines, and he says that the residents of his county in Florida, Gainesville, the county Gainesville's in, are victims of whispering informants. It's one of those phrases I read it and I say, I wish I thought of that. And I immediately, as soon as I read it, I immediately asked for the latest snitch lines from Massachusetts. I assume they're going out of business because the last of the Orwellian lockdowns end at midnight tonight. But I need one more. I'm not going to call it a Karen snitch line anymore. I'm going to call it the whispering informants snitch line. All right, time now for the chump line.
Joe Biden said he met with the leader of Turkey, even though he prefers ham.
He didn't, but it's certainly within the realm of possibility that he would say something like that, if not now, a few months from now.
Joe Biden, Ilhan Omar, and Jennifer Lawrence, all singing that old Mose Allison tune, Your Mind Is on Vacation, but your mouth's been working overtime.
Yes, most certainly. And as another old saying goes, it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, this week celebrating Flag Day and the creation of the Stars and Stripes. We're also saluting Quincy, Massachusetts on their 70th annual Flag Day Parade, the longest running parade of its kind in the nation.
Any chance we can get these hackers to shut down the Democratic Party?
That was another way Biden stumbled over himself yesterday. He was asked about Putin's suggestion that the countries exchange cyber criminals. Well, number one, I don't think that we get to exchange prisoners with somebody. They have to be extradited. But number two, there's very little cyber crime against Russia going on in the United States, if any, as opposed to what they're doing. And their cyber crime is supposedly at least known, if not sponsored, by the Russian state, whereas ours probably isn't, because I don't think there is any. But Joe didn't take any of that into account. He just said, well, yeah, maybe that's a good idea to exchange prisoners, like we're at war with them and we're exchanging prisoners of war.
The 9 scariest words in the English language revised. President Biden, Speaker Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, it is pretty scary. Biden said today that the Republican Party has been vastly diminished. I don't know. They're still pretty close to having a majority in the Senate. Maybe a few boxes of ballots in Georgia away from a majority in the Senate. Not that it can be reversed now. And they gained seats in the House of Representatives. If the Republicans are vastly diminished in numbers, I think it's a temporary thing until November of 2022, the way things are going.
Joe Biden says that he's been accepted into the club by the French president. I didn't know they had a Mickey Mouse club over there.
Apparently, Justin Trudeau, it's being reported, said that Biden can't go on much longer and that Kamala Harris will be president by the end of 2022. That's pretty scary in and of itself, isn't it, if it's true?
Hey, Howie, Joe Biden here. I'm going to tell Putin what I want him to know once Jill tells me what I should know.
Yeah. It's almost time to start reading about Edith Wilson and how she operated after her husband, Woodrow Wilson, had a stroke halfway through his second term as president back in the around 1919.
Eroff, I too was swallowed by a humpback whale at Chappaquiddick. Only Eroff, I was spit out due to professional courtesy.
Yes, we talked about that a little on Friday night, the story by the lobster fisherman who said he was swallowed by a humpback whale. The skeptics are out in force today in places like the Fox News Channel and the New York Post. I don't know. We would love to hear from him, though. If he's listening to us on WXDK down on the Cape, we would love to talk to him about what really happened.
Hey, Howie, they keep saying America First is over and it's replaced with America's Back. But if we're not first, aren't we in the back?
Joe Biden was in the back when he was walking with the other leaders. Remember, Trump used to always like to get to the front of the line. Joe Biden leads from behind, like his old boss, Barack Hussein Obama.
I've been to Europe. Can I be vice president?
That's a good point. You know, think of how many millions, tens of millions, maybe 100. Maybe hundreds of millions of Americans have been to Europe, and they're not vice president.
I think it's very demeaning to say Jill Biden follows Jill around like his nurse. She's not a nurse. She's a doctor.
That's right. And don't you forget it. Don't you forget it. You know, the headline in the Herald on Saturday was about this guy down on the Cape who claims he was swallowed by the whale was Moby Ick. And one of Grace's callers today came up with a better headline than that. Moby Shtick.
Howie, Joe Biden calling. Come on, man. Why should I send Kamala Harris down to deal with a border problem? I want Pancho Villa captured, not seduced.
Let's play cut 29 from Joe Biden earlier this afternoon in Brussels.
I know, and I'm not being critical of the press. I really mean this. I give my word. But generically, you all thought, was Biden meeting him too soon? I haven't found a world leader who doesn't think it's not soon. It's just soon enough.
What? Again, many of these quotes will have you scratching your head. Keep both your hands on the wheel.
That That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
That's it for the chump line. The chump line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any hour of the day or night, as long as it's between 1 and 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time every weekday. The chump line number, if you'd like to leave such a message, 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the chump line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday, or we might play it at 7 o'clock tonight on Chopped Chumps. Those are where the excess messages from the chump line go every weekday. We post Chopped Chumps at around 7 o'clock Eastern. You can get Chopped Chumps wherever you get your Howie Carr Show broadcast. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, this week celebrating Flag Day and the creation of the Stars and Stripes. We're also saluting Quincy, Massachusetts on their 70th annual Flag Day Parade, the longest running parade of its kind in the nation.
I think it's very demeaning to say Jill Biden follows Jill around like his nurse. She's not a nurse. She's a doctor.
And again, don't you forget it. She's a PhD. Who needs those MDs or DDSs when you got a PhD in the house? I'm Howie Carr.
Born in Maine, made in Massachusetts, and now a resident of the Sunshine State, Howie Carr, the original carpet bagger.
He'll regret it to his dying day, if ever he lives that long.
Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by the VIP Experience. Don't forget Dad this Sunday. Get him an in-studio experience with food, books, and of course, a lot of laughs with me. To get yours today, go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on the VIP Experience tab. We still got some openings for Wednesday?
Yes, we do.
All right. If you want to get on board immediately, go there and you can book your experience for Wednesday. 844-500-4242. Yep, 410. Jill Biden is an Ed.D., Doctor of Education, not Ph.D. Yeah, you know what? I stand corrected. Ed.D. is below even Ph.D., I think. What's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who is the worst member of the squad? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, or Rashida Tlaib?
Ilhan Omar, I think.
By a wide margin, 67%.
All right. 844-500-4242. I came up with a new little intro today, and I got Taylor to do it for me. This is for when we do non-police blotter facts, police stories during the 5 o'clock hour. Here it is. We'll have it in just a moment.
Here's the kind of adventure you've been waiting to hear. Hard-boiled action and mystery. So stand by for trouble. Stand by for suspense. Stand by for adventure.
A man who was caught urinating in a North Houston street was shot dead by a resident who took exception to the crude act. Both the victim and suspect drew guns on each other Thursday night after a heated exchange between the man who was relieving himself and a large group of residents. The man who relieved himself for the last time was identified as 20-year-old Lester Fuentes Bueso, shot multiple times. Another one here from the police blotter, the Daily Police Blotter. An off-duty Delta flight attendant tried to take control of the PA system aboard a jet headed to Atlanta from L.A. and said he was going to take the plane down, forcing the aircraft into an emergency landing. You know, maybe I should have left this one for you, Taylor, because this is very un-PC, what they said over the loudspeaker when he attempted to take over.
Let's hear it.
Frantic crew members aboard Delta Flight 1730 called, quote, all strong males to the front of the aircraft to handle a problem passenger.
I like that.
They didn't mention females, strong females. They didn't mention transgenders. Why was it only strong males who were invited to handle a passenger problem? During the terrifying incident Friday night, the story has multiple angles to it. The unhinged off-duty worker was bizarrely dressed in a helmet and elbow and knee pads. Do you think that should have been a cause for concern? Or can you not say anything about anybody nowadays? I think that's it, basically. When he tried to take control of the plane's PA system and issued his ominous warning of crashing into the plane before he was subdued, the FBI arrested the disruptive flight attendant, whose name was not released. Again, he was bizarrely dressed in a helmet and an elbow and knee pads, causing the crew to ask, quote, all strong males to the front of the aircraft to handle a problem passenger. 844-500-4242. Mr. Garcia, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
Hey, how you doing, Howie Carr? First of all, happy Father's Day, and you and Taylor, a happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr.
Thank
Garcia.
You. Happy Father's Day to you too, Mr. Garcia.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I want to ask you a question. The food supermarket, me and my wife, we went to supermarket, and the roast beef, we get 3-pound roast beef every time. It go, we bought $18 roast beef every time. Now it's about $31 for roast beef.
Say thank you, Mr. President. Right, Mr.
President
Garcia?
Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything going up, and it's about maybe $30 or $40 more the shopping. And I said, what the hell going on? And it's getting ridiculous. Hopefully we can get Donald Trump back by, hopefully. But let me tell you, it's getting worse. It's getting worse.
It is. And, Mr. Garcia, though, look on the bright side. You live in New Jersey. I just saw a story today that Governor Phil Murphy has removed 45,000 COVID cases from the state's log. 45. So there are 45,000 fewer cases than there were a couple of days ago.
Yes, and then I heard you going. You say the school going to be open by September, but you say if nobody vaccine, nobody should go to school, only virtual. And what the hell going on? And everything is not. And he's forcing people to vaccine for what?
I don't know. I don't know. You're right. I mean, you know, Marty McCary, the guy we had on from Johns Hopkins a couple of weeks ago, he said, can somebody tell me, give me the name of one person, you know, under the age of 12 who has died from this? And you know, nobody responded, Mr. Garcia. What is, you know, why do they need to get vaccinated? What about the 19-year-old Northwestern student who got her second shot and now she's dead? She had a heart attack. It apparently caused her to have a cardiac arrest, and she's gone. And you know, this is not necessary. What's going on here? Thank you. Thanks for the call, Mr. Garcia. And I'm sorry you're paying so much money for roast beef. 844-500-4242. We got time for Doug. Doug, go ahead. Doug, you there?
You saw that story. It was a story this weekend about the news reporter from Birmingham, Alabama, who broke the story of Clinton on the tarmac
right.
of Loretta Lynch.
Right.
He died mysteriously, which I think we're up to a count now of maybe 71, 72 people.
Christopher Sine was his name. He was a reporter, a street reporter for a Phoenix TV station. He came back to Alabama where he was a football player there. I you know, Doug, I think there's a chance, though, that he may have killed himself. I mean, you know, look at the reporters for the Washington Post, New York Times, who made up stories about Russian collusion hoax. They got they got Pulitzer Prizes. Christopher Stein is a real reporter who breaks a real story, and he can't break into national network news. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And the feel-good story of the day, I think, is appellate judge rules against Alachua. I don't even know how to pronounce it, even though I live in Florida some of the year. It's Gainesville mask mandate, I guess. And it's an amazing decision by the judge. It was a moot point because the mask mandate had been ended already by the governor, if not by the county commissioners. But an appeals court judge in Florida ruled that the mask mandate was unconstitutional. I think according to the lawyer who we're about to talk to, Jeff Childers, it may be the first decision in the United States by a judge saying that the mask mandate is unconstitutional. God knows a number of cases have been filed, certainly here in Massachusetts. One of the most disappointing court sessions I've ever seen, when the SJC was just falling all over themselves about what a great thing it was to have all these lockdowns and mask mandates. But I'm glad that Jeff Childers has prevailed in this case on behalf of a nursery owner. And I'm going to read you, or I'll let Jeff read some of these quotes from the judge. I mean, they're just phenomenal. Jeff Childers, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Howie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Congratulations, by the way. You did a great job. I read the story, and you thought it through, and you weren't even expecting to win, were you? I mean, you'd filed a motion saying they never mind. Right? Because the mask mandate was over.
Well, first of all, I would say that nobody was more surprised than I was to see that order show up in my inbox Friday afternoon. We had filed a suggestion of mootness with the First District Court of Appeal. It's not up to us to say a case is moot, but I have a duty to inform the court if circumstances change where it might be moot. And I figured it was a lost cause at that point. I had been fighting that battle for a year. When I started in May of 2020, I felt like, a lone voice in the wilderness kind of thing at the height of mass hysteria over these masks. So when the order came through, not only was I shocked to see it because it wasn't moot, but then, as you pointed out just now, what the judges wrote was beyond anything I could have ever hoped for.
I said earlier in the day, my favorite point of it, my favorite part of it, and I think yours too, was another consequence of the mask mandate was being subjected to whispering informants. That is such a perfect description of these snitch lines that have
right.
popped up all over the country. Whispering informants impelled by county design publicity, like the following proposed signage encouraging citizens to inform on their disobedient neighbors. And these were the signs that were up everywhere. And they were up, if they weren't up on the door, they were up online in different other places. So, I mean, you certainly weren't expecting the judge to call the Karens on the snitch line whispering informants, were you?
So I hinted at some of that stuff in my briefing, right? But I stopped because, you can go too far, right? And you don't want to offend the court, and you don't want to call the county commissioners Nazis. But essentially, it sounds like what this judge is doing is calling them brown shirts. I don't know any other way to characterize it.
Right.
And it's obviously incredibly satisfying to be reading that after a year of trying to make the court see that perspective. And obviously this court got it, and boy, did they get it.
And you did this pro bono. You just did this, this nursery owner was just having a problem and he couldn't take it. And you decided to do this for him. And you spent a lot of time on this, according to what you wrote today.
Yeah, it was a huge effort. I felt like I, especially last year, during the spikes and everything, when we were briefing this and then at oral arguments, I kind of felt like if I didn't do my very best work, then they were going to find a way to get rid of me. And so, I doubt I've worked on anything as hard as I worked on those appellate briefs.
Yeah, let me read the beginning of the as you pointed out, the lead gave you a pretty good idea where the judge was going. From May 2020 until around mid-May 2021, anyone residing in or visiting Alachua County has found himself under the yoke, the yoke of a mask mandate. Under these fiats, any person in the county had to wear a government-approved face covering. The diktats also required that a person cover his face in any location where social distancing measures are not possible. Wow. This guy, we could use some of them up in Massachusetts on our Supreme Judicial Court. Go ahead.
Yeah, and these are, well, first of all, you know, again, so far beyond anything I could have ever allowed myself to hope for, right? I doubt I'll ever get a win like that in the rest of my life. You just can't even, you can't let yourself hope for something like that. But the two judges, Judge Tannenbaum and Judge Long, are young. They're fresh appointees. You know, we have a fantastic governor down here, Ron DeSantis.
Yes.
He has been religious about appointing strict constitutionalists. And, you know, these two are excellent examples of the kinds of judges that he's been putting on the courts down here. And, you know, God bless him for it.
I didn't know about this quote except until I read your piece about the county commissioner, a guy named Carl Hutchinson, and what he posted on Facebook about the mask mandate. I mean, again, this is something I think around the country, they all believe this, but most of them are smart enough not to say in public.
Mm-hmm.
The chairman who issued the original mask mandate stated publicly that, and you quoted it in your briefs, masks are the only outwardly visible sign that you are contributing to the solution.
Mm-hmm.
What, is he a physician? Mm-hmm. Is he an epidemiologist? Is he a virologist? How does he know it's contributing to the solution?
Yeah, he's an ex-real estate salesman or something who's been in county politics for 25 years. So when we saw that show up on his Facebook page, I just had a feeling, it offended me, right?
Yeah.
And I had a feeling that if I put that quote front and center, it could frame the whole case. You know, this isn't really about health. It's not really about controlling the spread of COVID-19. It's something else, right? And it's an invasion of these fundamental rights to privacy that we have in Florida. And all that law that you read in there, you know, that Gainesville Woman Care case, that talks about, you know, complete bodily autonomy as a fundamental right in Florida. You know, we had all that law, and it baffled me that nobody could see it. That, you know, this diktat, as the court put it, to strap a piece of cloth around your head and cover up your face was as clear an invasion of bodily autonomy as an order that a woman has to wait 24 hours to have an abortion. The dissenting judge saw it completely opposite.
Who appointed him, by the way?
He was a Bush appointee.
Really? Jeb Bush. Okay. Well,
yeah. So there you go. Enough said about that. And moving on, he obviously is a strong abortion rights, you know, activist judge. But anyway, he didn't join the majority, and his dissent doesn't have any legal significance. What was more important, though, was the recognition that, and listen, Howie, governments can invade constitutional liberties when they need to. They just have to meet this very high standard.
Yeah.
And so when I designed this mask case, I did something different than everybody else was doing at the time. I decided not to take on the issue of whether masks work or not. Because to me, I was up against an opponent that can buy scientific studies whenever it wants to.
Right.
Right. The government controls the grant money. They pick up the telephone and they say, hey, we need a study showing mask work. And so some scientists get a dummy's head and they put a tube and they blow air through a piece of cloth and they write a study saying, hey, it worked great. You can't fight that. So I didn't even try. And I think that was probably the best decision that I made relative to the case. And then the other thing was I decided to file it in Florida court instead of in federal court because I could use the Florida constitutional right to privacy. And as you see from reading the opinion, that was what ultimately won the day.
And given the number of Republican governors you've had, you probably had a better chance of running into a conservative judge. I think you actually said that in a conservative state judge than a conservative federal judge.
Yeah, about 80% of the judges at the First District Court of Appeal were appointed by Republican governors, but at the 11th Circuit, which is where I would have had to appeal from federal court, it's 50-50. And it was a lot worse than that until Trump managed to get us to 50-50.
So is your client pretty happy about this?
He feels vindicated. It's been a long road for him. He was in the firing line, I think, because I'm an attorney. I didn't get the kinds of death threats and abuse that he received for, you know, over a year, more so at the beginning than toward the end. But it was awful. I mean, people would walk up to him in the grocery store and say, "Were you the guy that filed that mask lawsuit?" And he would say yes. And they would say, "Well, I hope your family dies in a fiery car crash."
This is in a college town, of course, Gainesville. I'm sure both of you are not persona non grata on the campus of the University of Florida.
Well, you know, I took the deposition of the University of Florida's top COVID scientist as part of the mask lawsuit, and I don't think he'd ever been deposed before. He wasn't super happy about it.
Few people are in that first deposition. Jeff Childers, congratulations. It's a great victory. And, you know, all of us that are around the country who've watched similar lawsuits go absolutely nowhere are pleased today. And, you know, even if it is a moot point, it's great. And I'm so happy. And this is, again, another reason why I'm glad that Ron DeSantis prevailed in the close 2018 elections. Thank you. That's Jeff Childers, the lawyer who just won a big case, the first case where the a mask mandate, this was a county mask mandate, was declared unconstitutional. And it was in the Sunshine State of Florida. But let's hope for more of the same. Thanks. Thank you, Jeff. The reviews are in for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. One user wrote, "Simple to use and easy to install. Just plug them in. Have three dogs and bought three. Love the change." We've been talking for weeks now about the thunderstorm helping with allergies, but like many users say, it's also great for odors. Another satisfied customer wrote, quote, "My basement had a dank smell to it. Within 20 minutes of using the thunderstorm, the smell was gone," unquote. If you like fresh air, you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. It is so small you can hold it in the palm of your hand. It doesn't take up any floor space. The air conditioning may be on now, and that means doors are closed. When doors are closed, odors are more noticeable. When you're cooking, you may not like the lingering fish or garlic smell. But that's no problem for the Thunderstorm. Order today and order more than one, because you're going to want more. Another owner said, "This is the second time I've ordered the Thunderstorm, and now I have five. My house, including my basement, has never smelled so fresh." Love them. You will too. Order the Thunderstorm today at EdenPure.com. Click on the Howie banner and put in code word Howie10. That problem room will never be a problem again. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
The Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. That was the good court decision. The bad court decision was that some people at a large hospital, in Methodist Hospital in Houston, were suing. There was a class action suit involving more than 100 employees of the hospital who didn't want to get the vaccine. And a judge ruled that they had to get the vaccine, or the hospital had the right to fire them if they didn't want to get the jab. And that was an unfortunate decision, I think, to say the least. But I've read that the judge who issued that ruling is the most overruled judge in the state of Texas. The thought of forcing people to take a vaccine that they don't want to take is pretty bad. And, you know, somebody said, you know, why should I take a shot? And they say it may not kill me, but why should I take a shot that probably won't kill me, but I have more of a chance of dying from the shot than I do from dying of COVID-19. Because, you know, if you're young, I mean, it's just not going to kill you except under very, very rare circumstances. 844-500-4242. And again, this is the end tonight at midnight. Charlie Parker. Good time Charlie's got the blues, I'm sure. I heard that song driving in today from the 1970s. And it certainly sums up Charlie Parker's situation tonight. He's giving up the last vestiges of his authority. Zebra, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Zebra.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, things are going a little bit crazy, I think, with this mask, and it's sort of like the tail insanity. They'll probably wise up before the fall, but Dartmouth-Hitchcock is mandating all their students, and a bunch of colleges in New Hampshire are mandating their students be vaccinated, but they're not going to mandate their teachers. Now, if it kills older people, which is mostly the teachers, does anybody have a common sense brain in their skull left? I mean,
no, that makes no sense. But how many times have we all said that over the last 15, 16 months, Zebra? None of this made any sense.
Yeah. I'm not going off the cliff with them, Howie. Don't you either.
No, I'm not. As I've said before, I got the shot, but it was not because I was scared, and it was not because I thought it would help me out. It was because I didn't want a hassle at the airport, and that's the reality of it. I mean, everybody has to make their own decisions, and that was the decision I made. I don't want to have to deal with a COVID-19 vaccination passport. 413, it's against federal law to force anyone to take an emergency use vaccine. It's also against the Constitution to violate the 14th Amendment, equal protection under the law, but the Biden administration had no problems with setting up preferential treatment for certain groups when it came to giving out COVID loans for restaurants or to farmers up to 120%. So the old bromide about, well, it's against the law, that doesn't carry much weight anymore, not over the last 15 or 20 years. 207, they're still wearing masks in West Roxbury today. Yeah, they're still wearing masks everywhere, but I think there are a lot fewer masks around than there were 2 weeks ago when it started. We can talk about this when we come back, but I was at the Market Basket again over the weekend, and when I went back on the first day that masks were no longer mandatory, it was like 70% were wearing masks. It was probably under 50% in Waltham on Sunday. And I think it's fading away gradually across the board. Not everywhere. I understand that, but I think more and more people are they're starting to realize they look foolish when they wear a mask. And I want to get a look at the Karen, the last Karen list, the whispering informant list before they shut down the snitch lines. Although I don't know. 207. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. Well, that's what I feel too. I mean, I would have had the sign down the first day if I had a retail outlet, because I would be afraid of losing customers. And I think they're losing more customers today with a mask requirement than with a no mask option. I'm Howie Carr.